Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Tomorrow we will kick the show off with Steve Stone. Here's hoping that we can kick the show off with Stoney and talk about a better White Sox game than the one that we saw last night. We will also talk with Joe O. Joe will try to bring some... he'll try to explain to us tomorrow why the White Sox are still favored to win the American League Central. I also want to talk to him about the NBA Finals and other hijinks that happens to go on the BetQL Daily Show. I love that show. It's so good and so fun. Shout out to the Joes and Aaron. They do a great job. So I will have both of those guests on the show tomorrow. Parkins and Spiegel is up next. Danny Parkins is here in the room. Spiegel will be here later on. He's out being a good dad.
He's being a good dad today, Lawrence. Yeah, so he will be in probably around 4 o'clock. And it's pretty funny because yesterday, Spieg shared a story from Memorial Day family activities where his conclusion was that his son is not a good athlete. And we were kind of getting on him for being harsh and judgmental on the 10-year-old, you know, and it was hilarious, but he like fell in a pool and like was awkward and not. And then Ruben was like, I'm not a fast runner, daddy. And it's like, yeah, you're not. But like, you know, whatever, he's 10. And
right. Well, you know, I played softball with Ruben last year. I think that there are some tools there that can be cultivated and he could turn into a fine athlete if he wanted to be.
And, yeah, don't talk about your son like he's Danny Mendick.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we could be grading these guys on different curves. So it was funny. So we were making fun of him for his, like, sports radio evaluation of his own kid.
Especially when, like, aren't kids at 10 kind of supposed to be uncoordinated?
We're all awkward at 10.
Yes!
Yeah, of course. Of course. It was ridiculous. It was totally ridiculous. But like at the very, very end, he was like, but he's a good musician. And so today is a concert for Ruben. Speaks wasn't able to attend the last one. So he's going to go be a good dad and attend the concert. And he should be in studio around 4 o'clock today.
He can be both. He can be a really good athlete and a good musician.
I've heard about those people.
They're called prodigies.
Yeah, yeah. I was never one of those people. I wasn't really good at either of them. But yeah, it's the people that have multiple talents at like the one percenter level are tough.
What would you say are the thing that you're most jealous of? And I'll give you mine so that you can think of it. Like when you talk about like those people that are at the 1%, like their talent level, I'm really jealous of people who speak multiple languages.
That's a great one. And
I mean, like, not they know a couple of words that they can just instantly flip.
Yeah.
And have a conversation in French or have one in Arabic or have one in Spanish. I'm super jealous of people like that.
One of my good friends that I grew up with, he lives in Paris now. He is French. His parents are French, so they spoke French in the house. Then obviously he grew up on the north side of Chicago, so English. And then he took Spanish very, very seriously. So he's trilingual, and he parlayed it into a finance job based out of Paris where he has relationships with like a Spanish bank. So he commutes from Paris to Spain like once every 3 months, and then his family's back here in the old U.S. of A. I'm like, Max, you got it figured out, man. Like, that's like the greatest life in the world.
I had a former student. She's now working in the industry. Her name is Bella Michael. She's a great kid. By the way, I was explaining this to my students last week. I will refer to them as kids. They could be 40, and I'm still going to refer to them as kids.
Oh, you're that guy.
I am. I'm totally that guy. Bella speaks five languages.
Yeah, it's absurd.
And I was like, what? She goes, yeah, you know, and she was able to work for BN Sports, the soccer network.
Yeah.
I want to say she speaks French, Italian. She's got like all the romance languages down and then a couple other ones. I'm like,
threw in Mandarin for fun.
I'm like, how old are you? Yeah. How does that work? How did you do that? Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, really amazing when you see people like that.
Mine is not as, I guess, intellectual, but great golfer. It's such a hard sport. I want to be so good at it. And when we had Joe Kelly in studio, in the commercial break, we were in conversation. He brought up golf on something. He hasn't been able to play in over 2 years because of injuries, and he had the nerve damage and recovery or whatever. So he hadn't been able to play. And I was like, but are you good? He's like, you know, like when I play, like, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, well, what would you shoot tomorrow? He goes, well, I haven't played in over 2 years, but put me on any course in the world tomorrow, I'm not shooting over an 84. I'm like, wow, it's really good, man. He's like, yeah, I'm a rotational sport athlete, and I can move my arm really fast because I can throw a baseball 100 miles an hour, so I can hit the ball like 350 yards. Like the ability to, because and that's like, you know, that's a good golfer. That's not a great golfer to shoot an 84. But some of these baseball players, I was reading the story about Sheets and Mendick. They just went out to Harborside on their day off, firing like 73s. And then Sheets is like, yeah, then I hit some home runs because it got me out of my slump. I was thinking about swinging a club a different way, and all of a sudden I tore off a couple of home runs. I'm like, that ability to just like grip it and rip it and it not be your main area of expertise and not even really be able to play all of that much. Like, you could play a little bit in spring training, but you're working and traveling during golf months. I can't believe it. I'm so damn jealous of it. Jeff Francoeur, I've told the story before, but like, I was kind of tight with him when he was on the Royals, and they had a 9-game West Coast trip. And it was like, where they played like 8 games in 9 days or 9 games in 10 days, whatever it was. I'm like, what'd you do on your day off? Played Pebble Beach. What'd you shoot? 71. Okay. I hate you. Just in the middle of baseball season, going to one of the toughest courses in the world on an ocean, playing from the tips and firing under par. Like, I just hate that guy. But I love him, but I hate him.
When I went out to the PGA Tour Superstore in Vernon Hills, and they did a fitting for me, right?
Yeah, it's fun.
Finally, I got to do that.
Yeah.
And Ralph, the guy who did mine, we were talking. He said, baseball guy, right? I said, yeah. I mean, now softball, because baseball was 25 years ago. But
yeah.
He's like, okay. He's like, swing this bat. I was like, what are we doing? He's like, I need to see some stuff. So kinetically, he wanted to see what I swing like. And he said, now we're just going to do that with a golf ball. And I was like, oh, because I had connected, like, usually people that are good at baseball can hit a golf ball, right?
Yeah, rotational sports. You're good at tennis, frisbee, hockey, golf, baseball. But they're all kind of cousins.
But I had never really connected it for myself.
Sure.
Until he put a bat in my hand. So I'm up there swinging. He's like, all right, now take this club and hit this ball. And I was like, oh, okay. Gave me a 7-iron. I went 174 yards.
It's great.
Yeah, for someone who stop playing golf.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, my biggest fear being in here after not swinging a golf club for 5 years is not hitting the ball at all.
Swinging and missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, that is my absolute biggest fear. He's like, you're going to hit the ball. It's totally fine. And I did.
Yeah.
And now I guess I'm kind of back into it. I went out to the driving range. But when I see people that are just out there and you see the way that they can hit the ball, and you hear the whistle.
Oh, have you ever been to an event? Have you ever been to a PGA Tour event?
It's been a long time. I went to Medina.
Yeah.
I went to Medina when I was working at Channel 9. So that's 98, 99.
Oh, when they hosted the major?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, with Sergio.
And I was like, wow, this is... But I was taking all of it in. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like big, too big for me to like look at swings and stuff like that.
Well, good, but going to an event, like, I don't love it. It's a great TV sport, but I do think it's like the type of thing you do. If you go once, you can appreciate it. And whether you go to like a Sunday of a major or the Wednesday of a random tournament and go to the practice round, it's the same thing, because you just, like you're saying, you hear the whistle of the ball. You see how fast they swing. Like, they can hit a golf ball 180 miles an hour. Think about 180 miles an hour. And then you just go to the range, just go to a driving range and watch these guys warm up. And maybe they've got a drill, like Vijay Singh famously, like towel under the arm, broken club shaft in the ground, broken shaft at his feet, and he's like swinging through like an apparatus. And by the end of his thing, he is swinging full speed, hitting 300-yard drives, dodging this stick on the way back, dodging a stick on the way down to like get his swing. Like,
that's incredible.
Incredible, man. Like the ability to control what they are, like how fast they're swinging, and be like, all right, I'm going to hit this ball 174 yards, but I want to hit it higher than normal left to right, because maybe in that, when they need to hit the 174-yard shot, there is a bunker that they want to avoid on the right side of the green, so it'd be better if they came in from the left side of the green with a little bit of right to left wind. Like, the ability of those guys to like zero in on, like, oh, this isn't a 174-yard shot, it's a 177-yard shot. Like, they have that in their game. That means put the ball one rotation back in your stance, or swing out to in 3 degrees instead of in to out 3.5 degrees. Like, it is such a precise scientific sport that, and I'm just trying to, you know, advance the ball.
I personally like the driving range. I haven't gotten to the point where I feel comfortable like going to shoot around, right? So I went to the driving range off of 63rd and Lakeshore Drive, and I'm watching this father and son, and they're doing what you're talking about. Like, they're playing a game with each other where it's like, okay, now we're going to see who can put it over that hill closest to the fence.
Yeah, target practice, draw fade, cut, yeah, slice, yeah, all of it. Yeah, it's crazy.
I was like, man, these guys are good. Like, they're just people like me, you know? Yeah. Like, they're just people like me. They're just sitting there, and I'm still happy. I did hit the guy who was getting the balls, and I felt really bad.
No, it happens all the time.
And I told him, because I came in, I was like, dude, sorry, I got you. He's like, that was a great shot. I was like, I really wasn't trying to hit you. I was just trying to hit the ball straight. He's like, no, you did. You did.
I was straight in front of you.
It was right here. He's like, no problem. I was like, all right, that's what's up. But yeah, those type of skills. Like, when I was younger, it used to be, you see someone who could dunk.
Sure.
Like, and go, wow, like, what would it be like to know that you could just do that? Like,
yeah.
Not, like, you don't have to really think about it. You could just do it. I'm also amazed by people that can do math in their head down to decimal points.
Yeah.
Like, not, you know, we do a little bit of that as sports talk people.
I know what you mean, though. There's a different level than computing whatever you were,
yeah,
3 for 11. Yeah.
So seeing people that have like that, like top of the food chain type intelligence.
1%ers, man.
And it come to the forefront is amazing.
Yeah. I maintain, like, I obviously, like, football is my favorite for what we do. They're all great. We know that it's football and baseball and basketball that really move the needle. But there's something about golf, like, you're competing against yourself,
which is the worst part for me.
Right. But it's beautiful.
Yes.
Like, because it means that, like, you could play with Pat Manoli, right? And if Pat normally shoots a 74 and you normally shoot 104, if Pat shoots a 78 and you shoot 100, you had the better day.
Right.
You know, that's like a beautiful thing to me. Like, it's a sport that is completely equalized. Like, you're competing against yourself, but people of different skill levels can play with each other. And even if Pat beats you, in my example there, by 22 strokes, you're feeling better about yourself than he is about him, because you were 4 better than your average and he was 4 worse than his. And then, no two courses are the same, which I think is totally unique to golf. You know, like, yeah, every baseball stadium's a little different, but the bases are the same distance apart. The mound is the same distance. Football the same. Basketball, hockey, all the same. Tennis, yeah, it might be clay or grass or hard court or whatever, but, like, basically the same. No two golf courses are the same. So, in theory, you should never get bored, and there's always a new one to play and master.
It's true.
I love that about it, man.
And I... I was like this with baseball. Like, I like practice. Like, I really was one of those people that enjoyed infield practice. Like, I wanted to get better and understand, like, where I needed to be and where do throws go and get your brain thinking about what happens if this situation comes up. And then it should be something that you know, like, instinctively. I love that. Being around people that have that natural ability to do stuff, I'm fast. My dad's like this with chess. Like, he teaches it, and he taught it to me. I'm decent, but the ability to think five moves, to see five moves ahead.
Sure.
On a board and understand your opponent that well and what you're trying to make your opponent do. It's wild to me. Now, I've gotten good enough where I can play with decent players now, like 1500, 1600 level players. I won't embarrass myself with them. But knowing that, like, playing against my dad, like, it was like, what? Like, what are you doing? And then he does the thing that all of those types of people do where, okay, how did you get better at this? He's like, oh, well, you just kind of visualize. And you're like, no. Stop right there. Talk to me like I'm five. Because this, you visualizing the board and seeing what I'm going to do five moves from here doesn't help me. It's Jordan trying to explain how to do basketball.
Right. It's why Larry Bird hated being a coach.
Yeah.
He said, I forget exactly how he worded it, but it was basically like I was just telling them to do things like I was able to do them.
Right.
Yeah.
And you go, that none of that stuff even helps me. And I was joking in the last segment. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the hockey at all. Wayne Gretzky's really good at analysis.
Is he?
Yeah. He's fun, too. He's really fun, and he's into it. And I think that he's a bit of a unicorn for the guys at that level of sports.
Aren't that many of them, and then when they do it, you're much more likely to get Magic Johnson.
Right.
Yeah.
That was my point. Like, you usually see someone that's just kind of there, and they're not really in it for the analysis. Like,
we'll see how Brady does.
I'm concerned about that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my money.
No, it's not. Like, it's not your money.
I can only be so concerned.
Have you noticed the sea change with Derek Jeter, too, now that he's no longer in charge of the team?
He's on Twitter, right?
And Instagram now.
So he's trying to have an opinion?
He's in the new Subway commercials. He's actually showing a personality. Hmm. We've gone 45 years with Derek Jeter. And, like, do you have a personality or is it just baseball? And you would think, like, he's got to have something because that's how you end up with the murderer's row of girlfriends that he's had. There's got to be some sort of charm that it goes beyond, I'm the Yankees shortstop.
It probably goes beyond looks, money, fame, and prestige. But that's a pretty good starting point.
It's a great starting point.
Pretty good starting point for that murderer's row, man.
If you've got all of those things, great. But, you know, there are guys and women who have that. And they still can't.
Minka Kelly has rich, famous, attractive men that she can choose from. And they keep having to choose Derek Jeter.
Correct.
So he must have something else in addition to it all.
Correct. So I think there's a doc that's going to be, like, there's like a 30 for 30 on him.
And the women?
No, I think the women are, I think that's going to be a part of it.
Really?
From what I've been told.
Oh, okay.
I think that's going to be
a fun movie.
That would be a very fun movie.
I would watch.
What, Mariah Carey has two songs about him, I believe? I believe it's two songs.
Who was it? Tracy McGrady was on. Tracy McGrady was on the show, Lawrence. I don't know if you heard it. Tanny played in the open that he made for him one of the two times that Jay-Z referenced T-Mac. But he also played when Method Man name dropped him in a song. And T-Mac opened the interview saying, wait, what song was that where Method Man mentioned me? Tracy McGrady has lived a life where it is possible that Method Man mentioned him in a produced, published piece of music, and he didn't know about it. That's how much cool bleep has happened to Tracy McGrady.
That's pretty dope.
Isn't that insane? Like, that is just, like, so, like, Derek Jeter is probably like, a Mariah Carey made a second song about me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because that was like 9 girlfriends ago, 3 pop stars ago.
A lifetime ago.
Yeah, a lifetime ago. Like, the things that he's forgotten that he's done or accomplished, it's staggering. I wanted to do the entire interview on, like, Tracy, you realize how absurd that is, right? That you did not know that Method Man name dropped you in a song? How did that not make its way into your radar?
See, I love that choice. I love that interview choice of these guys are talking about their careers all the time.
Yeah.
But hearing the cool stuff that's adjacent to them, it's insane.
These guys have lived the doors that are open to them. Pat Manley told us the story of getting invited to play, back to golf here, to play with Michael Jordan at the Grove. He's the long snapper for the Bears. Michael Jordan could play golf with literally anyone in the world. Every single person would accept that invitation. And Pat Manley got it because of a guy he knew, and then he went out there and he was telling the stories about what the clubhouse was like and what other PGA Tour players were just mulling around and how it was Titleist Pro V1s and the range balls and like all the crazy Jordan stuff. And like he got him a present. Like, what do you get Michael Jordan as a present? And he got him a long snapper IPA putter cover.
Okay.
I'm like, Pat, he's not using it.
It's fine. He'll give it to someone else.
Yeah. But what else do you get him? But so, yeah, like that. I find that to be like probably the single most interesting thing about talking to athletes is they're like, oh, yeah, that time that I met the Beatles.
Right.
Like, you know, it's crazy.
That time when I was at the White House. Let me tell you.
How many presidents have you met is a great question for some, like Bob Uecker. How many presidents have you met? He's like, well.
Like six.
Yeah. When we had, who'd we have on who told the crazy story? Was it Costner?
Hey, man, you know Belvedere?
Yeah. You told the story about Subway in the car with...
Yeah, that was Kevin Costner.
Yeah, Kevin Costner telling...
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
I get them mixed up. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I knew it wasn't Costner, but he may as well. Dennis Quaid. Like, I was like, man, on any given Sunday, that must have been insane. And he was like, yeah, you know, played golf with Jim Brown and Lawrence Taylor and James Woods. I'm like, well, that's got to be the craziest foursome you've ever played with. And he's like, it is the craziest foursome I've ever played with, but I've had a crazier twosome. Like, oh, yeah, what was the crazier twosome? It's like, well, Bill Clinton invited me to sleep at the White House when Hillary was out of town, and we hung out, and then we got in the limo, and he wanted Subway, so we got Subway, and then the Secret Service closed down the course for us, and me and Bill Clinton played one-on-one. I'm like, dude.
Holy crap.
What a life. What a life. Like, that's just... if that happens to you or me, it's like chapter 1, 2, and 3 of the book that no one wants to publish. It happens to Dennis Quaid, and it's just an anecdote that he kind of forgot about.
Yeah, until you reminded him.
Yeah. He's like, well, I guess I had a cooler twosome.
There was that one time when...
Yeah, totally ridiculous.
I got you... Like let's go back to this sentence, okay?
Yeah.
Because the cool part is, I was invited to stay at the White House... while Hillary was out of town.
Yeah. Bill just wanted a companion that he was allowed to have. Like, I don't know. Like,
it was, that's a good point.
It was insane. The lives of these guys. Nance told us a similar story of like Brady. It was
like two presidents, wasn't it? Wasn't it Clinton and Bush?
Yeah, it was Clinton. Right. Because he's tight with HW and HW and Bill were doing, I think it was hurricane relief, and Nance was emceeing an event for them. And they said, when we'd like to golf together, can you find a fourth? And they were playing a course out in the Boston area, in the Massachusetts area. It's like, we got a reservation. I think it was at Brookline, actually, which is where the PGA Championship is going to be held. Or the U.S. Open.
Is it where Theo's from? Like,
yeah,
around that
yeah,
area?
Yeah, where the U.S. Open is going to be. They were playing at Brookline, and HW asked Nance to fill out the fourth member of the foursome. He's like, well, I could call Brady. And HW said, do you think Brady would want to play with us? With two presidents. And Brady said yes. So the foursome was Jim Nance, Tom Brady, George Bush Sr., and Bill Clinton.
Like,
didn't he? Wasn't it a Peyton's place where it's Tom and Peyton at Nance's house?
Yeah, Nance. Well, Nance's house is legendary.
And it has a replica of Pebble Beach.
He told Mac and I the story of the backyard. Because the water bill was 10 G's a month. So he took out the grass and put in turf. And then when he did that, he put in the replica of the seventh hole at Pebble. And he did it to size. And someone at, I think it was Wilson was the manufacturer, one of the golf ball manufacturers, got him. So like the seventh at Pebble, I don't know what it is. Say it's 150 yards. His hole's like 60 yards. And so they made him golf balls that fly like 38% of distance. So they're real golf balls that you can hit with real clubs and take real swings. But if you hit your 7-iron 174 yards, if you hit a Jim Nance golf ball in his backyard, it'll go like 88 yards. Because that's calculated to scale for Nance's backyard.
Jeez.
Insane.
Must be nice.
He has the wired speakers out there where he can just track one is the Masters music. The theme. So he just, when he puts on the Bluetooth.
That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible? It's incredible.
It's really amazing.
Yeah. The guy's got the greatest life ever. He almost lived here. He told the story.
In this building?
No, not in this building. When he got the job, they were like, you can do it from anywhere. The number one CBS job. And he was like, well, Chicago, two airports, easier for travel.
Midway through, yeah.
Yeah. And so he said he was like looking at houses on the North Shore. And then
from Wakanda, Illinois.
And then he was like, well, I mean, you'll literally let me do it from anywhere. Okay, Pebble Beach.
Yeah, that's
all right, Pebble Beach.
That's a good idea. Pebble Beach, San Diego.
Yeah.
Miami.
Yeah.
That might work.
So today, Spiegs will be back around 4 o'clock. My white whale, Joakim Noah.
He's on the show?
Recorded this morning.
Sweet.
Yeah. Bette Rivers hooked it up. Did 15 minutes with him. Going to play it.
That's always good when you get that.
It was awesome. It was really cool. Really fresh off a trip to spreading, trying to grow a basketball league in Africa with Luol Deng. Talk finals, talk Bulls, talk some stuff that I'd wanted to ask him for a long time. Very cool. So Joakim Noah at 3.
Wait a minute. Did y'all talk wheat?
No.
What?
I know. Next time. I know. I didn't know.
And you blew it.
I didn't know.
You blew it.
Am I going to mess up my Bette Rivers money or his Bette Rivers money?
It's legal.
I know. I didn't talk weed with Joe. I really should have.
If you get another chance.
I will get another chance. I will. I do want to ask about the picture in the headshot.
Okay.
You remember the picture in the headshot that went around? Like, it's like, did you think you were not going to make your way into the internet? You're 7 feet tall and your hair looked like that. But yeah.
I wouldn't lead with that.
No, that's, I know. Well, that's why I didn't lead with it today. But it was good. And so we'll talk about last night's White Sox game, where blame goes. I saw Top Gun last night.
And?
I mean, I loved it. Loved it.
Loved it.
Loved it. But right. I'm admittedly a meatball for the original.
That's
too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be a meatball for it and then walk in there and be like, this is trash.
No. We'll do it, but it's exactly what you want it to be.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
it's on my list of things to do this week.
You'll love. Did you like the original?
Oh yeah.
Oh, then you'll love it
big time.
Okay, let me know when you see it. Even if we don't have a transition the next day, want your text thoughts.
All right,
it was great.
Not a problem.
It was great. But yeah, that's the show.
Sounds like a show, Danny. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. That's Lawrence Holmes. Tanny's Open kicks us off. Parker to Spiegel on the score.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.